Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
Hi there, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour with me, Darren O'Sullivan, and we're back with the Championship. Came around really quickly this year after the league, so I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Cavan's Cian Mackey, and joining me online is my regular, Eamon McGee above in Donegal. How are we doing, lads?
All good.
How's the form, Darren?
Good now. I suppose the Championship kind of snuck up on us. I kind of half forgot about it, and all of a sudden it was there, but I think I prefer this format. The less training would have suited me, I think, but we used to have a big long gap between the league and Championship. I don't know how you prepared for the above and Cavan.
Yeah, in general, it was probably a 7 to 8 week gap. So it was like a full pre-season again, like another 2 to 3 weeks of hard dog and training. Yeah, so this smaller gap, I would have far preferred it than them 2 or 3 weeks of dogging. It just leaves no space, just straight from league to Championship. I think it's a far better format.
I think so. And Eamon, I suppose, like, you'd always talk about the difference between league and Championship. And I suppose it's probably more important to take the league, be more focused in the league now, because be honest, there was such a gap, it didn't actually matter what your form was in the league. To be honest, you could train your way back into form back in the day.
Exactly, like, you know, you would have had an average enough league, or you could have an average enough league, and just torture yourself for them, you know, really dog it and find that form, and they, as Cian says, that nearly Championship pre-season. But now it's vital, you're not going to get that gap to build up and to work hard now, so it's vital that you have some kind of form coming off the back of the league. You're just not going to be able to get the work done and be able to. I remember a few league campaigns where you'd be coming off and there's wee doubts in your head, and that gap from league to Championship, you just extinguish them, and that's not there. You don't have that opportunity, so you need to be in, you know, fine nick coming off the league and coming into the Championship.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, because it was such a long gap, you'd have well forgotten about the league by the time the Championship came around. And lucky enough, down in Kerry, we actually did a couple of the warm weather training camps, which were brilliant for getting a bulk of work done, feeling like a professional for that week or whatever. But it was just brilliant to get the speed of your football up. We'd go away in somewhere hot and stuff like that, but I suppose them days are gone now. But I think I'd actually prefer this format. But I suppose, look, we'll get to this weekend's action, and the All-Ireland champions were in action against Fermanagh. Probably comfortable, but they still had a bit to do early on. I think Fermanagh started well, but I suppose you'll know more about the Ulster Championship than me, but it was a good start. We mentioned it might be banana skin before, Eamon, but Cian, I'll get your thoughts on it there, because it wasn't all rosy for Tyrone.
No, well, Tyrone came in like slightly flat, like they were probably huge favourites, and Fermanagh underdogs going hard at it. But like Fermanagh, if they had took a couple of their goal chances in the first half, like the blatant goal chances, and probably just not got overexcited when they were through to get the score and get the crowd going, and just showed the difference. Myler came through, one goal chance, bang, goal, you know, and that knocked the stuffing out of Fermanagh. But like Tyrone, they grew into the game and got a few good performances, like Darren McCurry back on form. You know, we probably would have earmarked that match as in, I need to get myself back up and running, and he did. two boys in the middle of the field were awesome again. Granted, the Fermanagh midfield could match them for running power, but just their aerial ability is unbelievable. And in and out from full forward to midfield, Fermanagh just weren't able to deal with that sort of game plan. But Fermanagh take great heart out of that, you know, like especially two goals at the end, quick thinking, you know. Tyrone need to kind of concentrate more when the game was dead and buried. They didn't really keep the concentration. That won't work again, the better team. So lots to learn for both teams, but I'd say Tyrone will be happy enough the way the game ended up. You know, they kicked on and kicked a lot of fine scores.
Yeah, like that. So it's one of them games that if you win by 4 or 5 points, you know, you're in a hiding to nothing really. No matter what they won by, you're going to be nitpicking like the two goals. It was very unlike Tyrone. Two handy quick balls over the top, and like that, you call it concentration or whatever. But yeah, look, I think there was a lot more positive than negatives for Tyrone the weekend, Damon. We mentioned a few of the players come back in for. I was kind of hoping to see a bit more from Colin McShane. He was a bit better, but I think he's still going to be a worry for them going into championship. He did okay, but I think if Conor McKenna isn't suspended, he'll be looking to get in there.
You know, if going on what Conor McKenna has provided when we come on, he definitely will. Now, Tyrone have an option to keep him in reserve and always provide that spring, because you definitely need that players to come off the bench and, you know, give you the boost. And, you know, it's gone. That's the cliche now. It's gone. The 15-man game is completely gone now. Kyle McShane, it's a funny one because he's back from injury. He's just trying to find his way. And, you know, sometimes he can go into a wee dip. It's not saying he's completely ineffective. We've seen, you know, times last year where, you know, he is a threat, but he just wants to become that dominant force that he was before the injury. And, you know, that real focal point. And it's just about finding his feet. And, you know, it's in him. He will find it. And it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, and Cian, you mentioned there, Darren McCurry looked very good the weekend. And, you know, I know, like, to start the league, a few of the Tyrone boys weren't really at the race. I suppose they'd come back late from holiday and they're finding their form. But it was just his attitude, even his facial expressions last day, the decision making. He looked like a man on form. But I kind of want to go back to Conor Myler, because I tweeted about it. He's probably my favourite player outside of Kerry lads, obviously. In terms of the modern day footballer, he has it all. Like, he's your half forward, half back. It doesn't matter. He has energy to burn. The only person I can compare him to that I played with was probably, for fitness, is Dunica Walsh. But I think Conor has more pace than him. But, like, in terms of what he brings to Tyrone, I just think he's exceptional.
Yeah, he's one of them players that you love to have. He can do a little bit of everything. He can kick a score. And he can also man mark. Like, he's a bit like Lee Keegan from Mayo. Like, if he has to do a job as an attacking wing back, he can do it. He can do it as a half forward, as a dog. But he can also go and just take a really good player out of the game. And that's a huge thing.
He did that last year against Kerry at Paddy Clifford.
Exactly. So, like, he's the type of player every manager wants, that no matter where you play him, he's going to give you, like, a really 8 to 9 out of 10 performance, you know. And that for me brings him just a wee bit above a lot of other players, because he has the pace, has the fitness, but has the application to either play for himself or play for the team. And that, you don't get that with too many players anymore.
No, exactly, especially that selflessness to be able to do both. But I suppose, Eamon, you had a few boys in your team that used to be up and down, and, you know, first names come to my head is the McHughes. They were brilliant for it. But could you pick anyone out there that you think would be kind of similar to Conor Myler there, with the energy levels and able to do it all? I suppose Ryan McHugh is similar to a certain
definitely,
degree.
Definitely Ryan, but for a man that sticks out to me, you know, would have been Carol Lacey.
Oh, Lacey,
Who literally most days left everything on the field. You know, I think we played Kildare in a championship game and he literally had to be carried off by the team doctor and one of the other selectors. And Myler reminds me of that energy and what he brings to the game. And it also be says that Myler is unbelievable character away from football, strong in his beliefs, and he's vocal about lending the support, and which personally I love to see in sports people nowadays. And he's just overall a good guy for a Tyrone man anyway.
I've actually had a couple of dealings with him away from football as well, and he's actually a lovely fella, and that doesn't come likely from a Kerry man either. Jeez, we're a bit of a Tyrone loving at the moment. But do you know, I suppose we can't really go by it without talking about the red card. It seems to be a talking point quite often these days with these melees or whatever. First of all, Conor McKenna, I thought, was outstanding. And the goal, the second goal Tyrone got, I just love that type of goal. I know he didn't get it, but he got a ball in the 45. It's just so simple. Little pop ball in to the full forward and came like a train off it. He was unlucky. He came off the post and his impact was huge. But going to the red card, I think he's going to feel hard done by. I do think the GA needs to stamp it out. But we talked off air, Cian, there was three Fermanagh lads involved in this before McKenna got near it.
Yeah, like, what's the definition of a melee, you know? Like, a melee is more than two people.
Yeah.
So it started off as a melee. Mm. You know, like, if there was a Cavan man on the ground and three Kerry boys or Donegal boys on top of him, you're not going to leave him there.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't, he was pushing them off. And then I think another three Fermanagh boys came in. So very hard done by, and look at, Joe McQuillan was in a sticky situation because of the way they're clamping down on contributing to a melee. It was a sticky one for him to be in, but I think he missed a beat by sending off a Tyrone man. He needed to send off a Fermanagh man, and
yeah, it didn't make sense.
No, it made no sense, and that's probably what's making it harder for people to take, because there's always this Tyrone bias and Ulster yeah. bias and stuff like that. So it's looking harsher on Tyrone now. So all going well, it'll be overturned because Tyrone need him.
Oh, they definitely need him. Like that, they've lost, I think, seven squad players, and it is coming the weeks after games where you're doing a bit of AVB that you're going to need all the players there and, you know, as many players available going into all the championship game, because every championship game is going to be do or die from now on. Like that, I felt a bit sorry for McQuillan, to be honest. It was one of them ones where they are being told to stamp this out. But, Eamon, like,
And that's why I don't think he's going to get off with it. Now, listen, there's no better men than Fergal Logan and co to find, you know, a loophole to get through. But if the referees are told to act on these melees and then, you know, Tyrone go and appeal and they get off with it, it's basically thrown it in the face of the referees that we've told you to do this and now we're letting this lad off. And for me, with the melee thing, I always like to go back to, if two lads are getting involved in the scuffle, just let them go at it.
Yeah.
It's when the second man comes in, the third man comes in, that's what causes the chaos. And, you know, if two men are big enough to go at it, they're, you know, they're well able to look after themselves, let them go at it. And the men that come the second or third man, give them the red card. And maybe that's the mentality that Joe McQuillan was looking at.
And when they do actually look back on it, like, when I was watching it, it was something innocuous that actually started it. I can't think of it. No, the wing back number 7 actually lent in with the knee, and that's actually what got Kilpatrick kind of riled up. And to be fair, if they are looking, which I'd imagine they will look back on it, there could be two or three Fermanagh lads who are going to get suspended. And we don't want to be sitting here going, oh, this fella, that fella should get suspended as well. But I think it's McMahon number 5. Like, the crack with the hand in the face, I can't stick it, to be fair. I hate it. I just think it's cowardly, it's malicious, it's horrible, it's wrong. And it was so blatant. And this whole crack of a one game ban then after, I think is a farce as well. Like, you to stamp it out, you have to give a proper punishment. And that's what started it really. Look, number 7 lent in a token gesture with the leg, but going in with the hand on the face is dangerous and it's nasty.
Yeah, the danger.
That's one of the things what you're going to have to look at in the J is this knee and them melees, because we've seen it so many times. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about the headlocks and, you know, we don't like seeing that there, but the knee in, and we've seen it nearly every game where a man reaches over on top of him, referee blows the feet free, and then he leaves the knee in, and it's not a good look.
No, it's needless as well, Cian. Like it just contributes to madness. And do you know, like you were on about leaving the, Eamon's on about leaving the referees out. I think it's the ice hockey where they just stand back and leave it into a mass brawl, and that's not the way to go. And I was having a conversation with an Armagh man actually yesterday, blowing the restaurant, and we were just on about it, the difference between rugby and Gaelic football. Like, even us in the hurling, do you know, the belting of the shoulders, and they could be at it for 20 seconds, hopping off each other. And then eventually it's a case of, geez, what do we do now? And then they have to stand beside each other like two Egypts. So we have to find something. And maybe it is a case that you run in, whether you're helping so or not, you're getting the road, but it has to be kind of consistent. And it can't be just like that Conor McKenna got the road, even though there was three lads in ahead of him.
Yeah, see, that's the bit I think he potentially could get off, because it was already a melee
yeah.
before he got in there. because there was a knee in the back, hand in the face, hand in the face, very dangerous, you know, and then like you can't stand by and let a lad be mauled in the face, because gouging has happened, fish hooking has happened, all in the GAA. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's a tricky one. Like in my head, in the heat of battle like that, you'd be straight in. And I know years ago you probably got away with it a wee bit more. But like if me and Eamon were at it, I'd be nearly praying for someone to come and help me out. But you know what I mean?
You'd expect it too. Like, and like I can't imagine Conor McKenna will have too many people saying that he was wrong in what he did, because to be fair, it would nearly impossible to stand back and see three lads over your teammate and one lad with his hand in his face. So I think he'll get off it too, to be honest. And if he doesn't get off it, like, I can't imagine a few more Fermanagh lads would probably be joining him with suspensions as well. That's the only way I can see.
I think that might be the road they'll go. They'll balance it out, give a Fermanagh lad or two.
Yeah.
You've got to call it out. You know, probably deserve a suspension as much as if Conor McKenna's going to miss a game, then probably a few Fermanagh lads deserve to miss a game. So they'll balance it out rather than, you know, just undermining Joe McQuillan.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see which way they go, because, look, not that we want to see schmozzles or millies or whatever you want to call it. You do like the bit of physical action. We do like it. Obviously, you don't want to take everything out of the game, but you don't want it going too far. And it is the, I suppose, the extra stuff we keep mentioning, the hand in the face. It's the dangerous stuff that you want to cut out of it, really. So, look, it's going to be interesting, but they just need to get a bit of consistency, because if it happens again this weekend or the weekend after, you'd expect that the same result's going to happen, because it's very unfair otherwise. And for someone like Conor McKenna now, I do feel a bit sorry for him. He came on, made a big impact, would probably have been pushing for a certain place going forward, and the likelihood is he's going to miss the next game. And Tyrone, like we said, they're missing a lot of players at the moment. They could do with everyone. They can't afford to be getting suspensions and injuries, because obviously their squad isn't as deep as it used to be. But I suppose sticking with Ulster, it's one of them provinces, it's hard to call. I have a Cavan man and a Donegal man with me, so I'm kind of torn. I hope it's a Cavan and Donegal final, maybe. But which way are we going? Armagh were talked about an awful lot at the start of the year. Rian O'Neill has managed to escape a suspension. Donegal are looking good. Cavan should have a bit of confidence after the league final. So where are you going? Oh, you have to be careful now as well, because you have to go home.
Yeah, I can't upset too many people back home. Look at Cavan, now all going well, get over the Antrim game. It is a sticky one, because Antrim are actually moving quite well, and we're very unlucky not to gain promotion. And Cavan, like, they're winning games, you know, like, so you can't stop, like, that's nothing better than that, you know, winning games. No matter if you're performing to the best of your ability, Cavan are finding ways to win games, like, and they were under a wee bit of pressure at times against Tipperary, but still kept going and kept going and defended well. You know, so momentum will be what Cavan want to keep going. You know, they're a Division 4 team. No Division 4 team has ever won an Ulster title. So they're massively up against it. But that'll be a tag that they'll take, no problem. No one will be even looking at them. So they'll be happy with that.
They aren't being mentioned, which is surprising for me. I know they're down Division 4, but it's only 2 years ago since they won it. And a league title, no matter what division, like you said, it's about winning games and picking up silverware. So that breeds a bit of confidence.
Oh, massively. And look at the... They'll be looking confidently at Antrim, but they won't be looking past them. Yeah. Like, Cavan at this moment in time can't look past anyone, and never did, you know. So that'll be a huge thing for them, to maybe not have a Donegal or a Tyrone in the first game, you know, because that would really, really scupper any chances, you know, because you just would be coming out of Division 4 and looking at some of the big teams in Division 1. So that'll help Cavan. But kind of on the other end of it, I'd be, like, it kills me to say it, but like Monaghan, you know, they really are... Like, they're such a unit, you know, and they're moving quite well. But this year, for the first year ever, you just don't know what Monaghan's coming out. Mm. Like, they went down to Newbridge and got steamrolled by Kildare, and then went up to Clonus and bet Dublin.
Yeah.
Do you know? So you just don't know what Monaghan's going to be out. If Monaghan can play the way Monaghan play, they're definitely in the running. I really do think it's between Monaghan and Derry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think it's potential of an outsider really coming in and putting a bit of pressure on Tyrone and Donegal. So I do think my top two picks would be Monaghan and Derry.
I wasn't expecting that, to be fair. Yeah. I know
that's a big call. That's a big call.
Yeah, like I think I like Derry. I like the way they're moving. I like the direction they're going. I think it's a year too soon from like that Monaghan. It is a case of they were either red hot or freezing cold during the league, which is unusual for them. But they still managed to find a way to survive again in Division One. But Eamon, you have a big one coming up against Armagh. What way is it looking? How are they feeling above in Donegal?
I think you're not going to get much real information from the camp. It's
come like on, tell us what Neil told you. Come on, spill the beans.
Neil doesn't say much. It's like North Korea, like most county teams, it's like North Korea up here trying to get information. And, you know, were you training tonight? Don't know. When he's out again, don't know. And actually, you know, one of the lads just literally told me, he just says, why are you even bothering asking me? He says, I'm going to tell you Rick the lies anyway, so just don't bother asking me. So I've stopped asking any of the lads. Don't even bother asking Neil about football anymore. So I'm not going to get the information, but it's been a quiet enough. You know, there's a good buzz after getting the Division One, getting over our man, winning that game on O'Donnell Park, and it's been a quiet enough build-up. You know, there was a kind of general, amongst us as fans, I'm not sure about the group, their disappointment in the disciplinary process, what the way Rian O'Neill was cleared. And, you know, I'm sure you lads, these are two forwards, you would love Rian O'Neill to play, and he's a fabulous footballer and whatnot, but, you know, it just made a mockery the whole...
Yeah.
The whole disciplinary process, the fact that he was able to get off when, you know, it was clear from the video that he probably did deserve a bit of a suspension. So there's a bit of annoyance about that up here. The three lads that are still suspended for him are massive losses to them. Or McFadden Ferry is a massive loss because he's one of the players that goes under the radar, does a lot of, you know, donkey work, picks up probably their danger man. If Rian O'Neill was playing out the field, Warren would have picked them up, more than likely picked them up. So there, and I genuinely mean this, there's not a lot of confidence. You know, other years we would have been very, very confident going into Armagh and, you know, looking at Armagh, because before this they would have a terrible Ulster Championship record. It was just, it's woeful. But this year's been different because they've been building up to this. This looks to be their year. You know, they've been building up to this gradual improvements every year, and this seems to be the year that they really want to give it a go. So there's a bit of edginess and nervousness out there. And again, you know, I don't know what's going on inside the group, but for us as supporters, we want this game to be over, and we want to come out the right side of it.
Yeah, and you know, we, like you mentioned there about Armagh's recent, well, I suppose not recent, his last 13, 14 years, their record in Ulster. Is there a reason why they've been so poor? I know they've been building this year and they've been getting better, but is there a reason why they've been so poor in Ulster, or is it a case of they've just haven't been up to the standard?
They've missed out. Like last year in Ulster semi-final against Monaghan, I was at the game and they were by far the better team for 80% of the game. And then when it was in the melting pot, they just couldn't get it over the line. They could not do it. And I think that's a huge thing. They're probably missing that little bit of experience in different sectors of the field to maybe just get a hold of the ball and calm it all down. It's all 100 mile an hour. And when it's 100 mile an hour, it's great because all the scores are going over. But then sometimes when you're ahead, it's been able to hold the lead and manage a game. I think they struggle massively with that. They're a brilliant team when they're behind. If they're behind, they will come at you and they could actually pip you. But when they're ahead, they can't seem to manage the performance, you know. And they were up against it against Monaghan that day up in Newry, and they were well ahead and Monaghan just clawed them back. A couple of experienced players, then McManus won two, he bought two frees, we'd say, just cuteness, and they won the game and got into an Ulster final, and people leaving the grounds was like, what happened there?
Yeah,
do you know? So I think it's a huge thing that unless they can start managing leads, that they're not going to improve, and they're not going to kick on to that next level in Championship football.
And that comes from experience.
Sorry, Darren. One of the things with Armagh, and I don't know, does Keane remember this? I think they played at Cavan a few years ago, and it was as evident as their indiscipline. And you know, they were terrible at defending, giving away bad fouls and crucial times. And I think they played usually the 2018 17, 18, and they more or less had used beat, and they just let Cavan back into it by giving away just terrible fouls at the worst times. And that seems to be addressed a wee bit, but the interesting ones, Heat Ulster Championship, do they go back to default and you know, make them silly decisions?
See, the huge thing with them is they're not keeping a hold of the ball, you know, so they're putting themselves under pressure to defend, where, like, when you look at their team, their forwards are outstanding. Defensively, there is issues. So, like, they need to manage the ball. When they have to defend, and as Eamon says, in the heat of an Ulster Championship match, will they be able to not leave the hand in or not put the big hit in? Like, they're all about physicality. So, it's sometimes you need to just step back and not be so gung-ho in your tackle. But if they can just control the game, you know, and take the sting out of the game. Like, that day we played them in Clonus, like, they kept giving away the ball because they were maybe 6 or 7 up. But they wanted to go 10 up.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just going, we are 6 or 7 up here. Keep this ball, take the sting out of the game. Let Cavan chase us for a while. They don't do that. They just, it's 100 mile an hour or it's defend for our lives. And defending for their lives isn't working because they're so physical in the tackle.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one because, like, look, I know they've been moving really well in the league and stuff, but that doubt will come in. All the players will know about their poor record and Ulster. And like you said, not knowing how to win a game is, you get to a certain point and you're looking for someone else to take responsibility. And it'll be interesting if the game is in the melting pot with 10-15 minutes to go against Donegal, how they react. Have they worked on it enough to, how can we keep the scoreboard tipping over? Because, like, a lot of it does come down to, when you said if they're way behind, they could come back and people, they don't know how to be the leader. It kind of reminded me of McIlroy in the golf lately, do you know? Yeah. He'd have a disaster 2 days and be out of contention, and the next 2 days would be unbelievable. Because it is easier when that pressure's off you and no one's expecting you, you just kind of go for it, do you know, without thinking too far ahead. But it'll be interesting just to see where they're at, and can they bring the bit of league form they had, because they were very good in a lot of the league. So it'd be interesting. And like you mentioned Derry, for me they'd be a dark horse.
The way I look at it, like, Donegal pipped them with a last kick score last year.
Yeah.
You know, so they were in the mix. Armagh last year lost to Monaghan. Monaghan went down, lost to Tyrone by a point in the Ulster final. So, like, when you look back, it's not a million miles away. And I really do think Derry, like I was saying before the show, Derry usually are 100 mile an hour and then fade away under Rory because they put so much energy into it. I think that they tapered back. Now, I could be wrong. It seemed like they tapered back coming to the end of the league because they want to put a big push to the Ulster Championship. Do you know? And now they're ready to go again. So it'll be very interesting to see what sort of energy they bring coming into the Tyrone match. Do you know? So that's a massive game.
Yeah,
massive game.
What do you think, Eamon? Is Keane on to something? You know,
I'm with them 70% of the way. You know, Derry are nearly there. I think Kieran McFaul, the loss of, is just too big a void to fill.
Yeah.
But that they're on the right trajectory. I think this year's going to come a bit too soon for them. But backdoor run, possibly when things open up, you know, Ulster Championship's going to be that wee bit tighter, you know, claustrophobic. I think getting the run in the back door will be good for them, and you know they'll build for next year. Hopefully, get McFaul back. And there's a fella down under. You know, there's not a lot of talking with Callum Brown. He's playing Rosie Rules, and if Derry can, he's a massive unit, as good a full forward as I've seen coming up. You know, if they can get him back, you know, Derry are going to be a real proposition, but It's just getting them back before he gets too far down the road with the Aussie rules.
Yeah, I think you made a good point, Keane, about maybe tapering back at the end of the league as well, because that's something I probably didn't think about. The league is so intense and the championship is so soon after. By the time you get there, if you're going full out for the whole league, you actually could be a bit burnt out, a bit tired mentally and physically going into the championship. So you might actually be onto something, that it is a case of, look, we've learned what we need to learn from the league. We'll taper back now so we can make another push, because if you're trying to stay at 100 miles an hour, especially if that's their style for all the time, you're always going to have a drop off, and you don't want that to happen in the championship.
Yeah, like the championship, like as much as league is huge now, it's massive now compared to years ago, but like the championship is the be-all and end-all. So, like, we've seen years ago, Roscommon, I think, got to a league semi-final, I think it was, in Division 1.
Yeah.
And they put all their eggs in there and then came to championship and they were flat. They were gone good and early. You know, I think they were out of the qualifiers well early too, you know. So, like, Rory Gallagher is a smart man, like, and Eamon would know more about him. Like, Everton is 100 mile an hour, but I don't think he's the type of man that will go 100 mile an hour and if it's not working, go at it again, you know. So I'm hoping more than anything else that he's smart enough to know we're going 100 mile an hour here. We need to calm it down a wee bit and be good to go 100 mile an hour for the Ulster yeah. Championship. So I'm putting faith into his intelligence as a coach because he is a very good coach.
Yeah, we'll be holding you to it anyway. We'll bring you back in a couple of weeks as well. But one team we're not mentioning in Ulster is Down. They seem to be a team in turmoil. James McCartan was gone. Now he's back. His retirement was shorter than mine with the club, but it's a strange situation there, Eamon. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation before, with, I suppose, lack of discipline or anything. No, I didn't mean like that.
what year do you want me to talk about?
How long is the show?
No, and it's someone actually texted me during the week when McCartan had left and then he joined again. It's the new example of leaving the squad. James McCartan has left the WhatsApp group. That's how you leave squads nowadays. But no, listen, they're so like us back in the noughties, and the most best way I can describe it is the Down have just developed as loser mentality, and you know, and I mean that with the utmost respect that you can say it, but it's exactly like we were. You know, Down have good footballers. And it's not James McCartan's a good man, he's a winner. He's a brilliant attitude and he wants what's best for Down, but he's just let down by a mentality that's in the group. And, you know, we would have had the same. John Joe Doherty came into us 2009, I think it was. Great Donegal man. And he just came into a group that was just infected with a, you know, after many, many years of a loser mentality, and he just couldn't change it. He did his best and, you know, he tried things and he was passionate and the group was too far gone, and that's where Down seemed to be now. Like, and when we talk about Ulster, we're not going to expect too much from Down, like, because of that attitude.
Yeah, and like we mentioned there just not only a few minutes ago with Armagh, it's hard to get that winning mentality back, and it is about going back to basics and buying into whatever your leader, which is James McCartan for Down, is doing, and everyone buying in. I suppose when you have fellas going offside then and going off on a bit of a solo run and breaking discipline, it just brings it further down and brings you further away from the goal that you want to be at. I just think it is a case of going back to basics, and it sounds simple, but it's not even about winning the next game. It's about just putting in performances.
Yeah, look, Down, they've serious footballers, and Ulster semi-final when Cavan won Ulster. Down were brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and Cavan just got their act together around the middle of the field and kicked on and won the game. So the ability is there, it's huge. It's maybe one or two leaders within the group, not even the manager, one or two leaders within the group to say, look, we can't keep doing this here. You're putting 5-6 nights a week into training to not really want to be there. So it's either like
an awful waste.
Oh, sick. It's unbelievable. It's not like years ago, maybe 2-3 nights a week, and you know, that's grand.
It's not even a waste of effort, it's a waste of life.
Yeah. You know, it's your life revolves around football now. So the boys up there need to kind of go, am I in or out? You know, and it takes one or two boys in a dressing room to change that mentality and it happens. It goes full circle. Down will be back without a doubt. They've a good tradition within the county and they're fantastic footballers. So it's just a matter of getting a couple of really good lads to pull together. And it's probably a huge thing if they could get the Kilcoo lads in. You know, if they could get them boys in, it could really tie the whole county team together. But them boys are probably seeing, we're doing this with the club and it's not happening in the county. Why bother? You know, so that's probably a huge thing for them, but they could be the key to tying the whole thing together for Down County football.
Yeah, and it is, sometimes it is that simple. You either want to be there or you don't, and if you don't bring down the rest of them. Just shut up shop, get out, and you go with fellas who want to be there. But look, I suppose we'll go west. They started the Connacht Championship as well this weekend. I was going to say big wins, but good wins, I suppose, for Leitrim and Sligo, but didn't have their own way. Sligo got over the line against a really impressive New York team. Like, New York hadn't had a game in 2 years, and some of the scores they kicked in that game were outstanding. And obviously Leitrim, they lost to London in the league, got their own back there. I was watching it again earlier, and she's both New York and London. I'm excited. I'm hopeful that they'll give the Tallaght Cup a good push now. But I'll start with Sligo, New York. Eamon, did you get to see much of it?
No, I was basically just following it online there now, Darren. And again, it is one of them things, and I'm nothing against Sligo, but you're hoping.
Yeah.
For that one for New York, and I think, you know, there's been a few games we've followed down through the years, you know, just checking the scores, and you always think that once Sligo or Leitrim or whoever get ahead, that's it. There's no way back. But, you know, New York kept with them, and they had their opportunities now. So it's for the development of the game in both areas, you know, London or New York. They need that one, and you know what they also need is to market that one well to the masses that are in both areas.
Yeah, and like I think the thing that stood out to me most about New York, obviously you had Johnny Glynn and Varley were outstanding, and they had Daniel Sullivan, he's Kildare, but the speed of him, he was outstanding as well. But most of it is a lot of homegrown players by New York now, and the captain had a New York accent because he was American, obviously, but which was pleasing to see. So like that, they haven't played a game in so long. Obviously Sligo came good, and I actually think young Pat Spillane actually made a good contribution when he came off the bench. He's fierce athletic, but it just goes to show, like, he transferred club from Temple Knowe up to St Jude's in Dublin, and when the COVID hit, I think he's got a sprint coach, and he's just transformed, and he came on the last day. And he just had so much legs. It was kind of reminiscent of his father, to be honest. He fucking ran with the ball, flicked it over a lad's head for a late score. So, look, they would have learned a lot from that. I don't think they're going to be pushing Connacht. I think you have the three big ones there. But I suppose Andy Moore and down in Leitrim had a big win as well against London. But they got a bit lucky. They got a penalty in the first half. Silly decision by the London goalie to come out. But only for that goal, it could have been an upset on the cards.
Yeah, London were moving quite well in Division 4, you know, and Titan Cavan to a point as well. Like, yeah. So London have won championship matches already, you know, so they know what it takes, you know, but the killer for them is probably the overturn of players. Like, they're probably going with five, six new players every single year, whereas maybe in New York it's not as much of an overturn. Maybe the main one or two players that come over, and that's the overturn for them. But, like, London, they were probably looking at Leitrim going, we can take this, do you know,
and
huge hunger going into the game. But like, Leitrim had to be a great win. Like, their top scorer in the league wasn't playing, and they still kicked on. I think it was 2:15 they kicked or something, or 3:12 or something along those lines, you know. So it was probably a real exciting game, just seeing highlights of it, and it seemed very exciting. But the problem is that the three are so strong in Connacht compared to the Sligos and Leitrim's and New York's and London's, you know, so that's a huge issue for them. So, like, the Tailteann Cup is going to be massive for the Leitrims and the Sligos.
Yeah, like, look, it would have been great for New York or London to win the weekend, but I think the big one is for them to be playing games, and that they'll get that in the Tailteann Cup. So, and I think both teams will take it very seriously because, look, they'll be playing teams more their own level, and the more games they play, the more they improve. But I suppose, like we said, the three big ones in Connacht, you've Galway, Mayo and Roscommon, and Galway, Mayo coming up. Eamon, it's going to be an exciting game. I'm kind of torn. The usual story with me and Mayo, I just don't know what to expect. They have a lot of injuries. Galway looked good attacking in the league final, but very poor defensively. It should be a good game. It should be a great game for us neutrals. But what way do you see it going?
This is the one where the championship starts off for us neutrals with a game like this here. Personally, when we see, and we can only go on what we've seen during the league, I would be leaning towards Mayo. I think people are reading too much into the performance, and the league final was shocking. And I think if Mayo come up against Kerry, they lose again. But up against Galway is a different proposition. I think that they have more than enough for them. You know, I think Mayo kind of have this confidence, this aura in the Connacht, against the Connacht teams. And I think they look down at the likes of Galway and Roscommon, and I think that's gonna, that's gonna project onto the field, and I see 4 or 5 points, despite the injuries, despite the poor performances. I just think that the way Galway are setting up, it suits Mayo, and Mayo's gonna just bring that intensity level. It's just gonna be too much for Galway.
Yeah, there was talks of a heavy training load as well for Mayo during the league. Which, look, I suppose part of me can understand, because the big one is the championship, but part of me couldn't understand when there's a chance of silverware. I won't go down that rabbit hole again. But with the injuries they have, you'd Henley out, you'd Durkin out, Flynn, Dermot Connor, Killian O'Connor. They're big players from... I actually don't know. I know for a fact that the Kerry lads who hadn't played much in the league played with their clubs recently just to get some game time into them. So it'd be interesting if the Mayo lads who have missed a lot of football have been given that chance to get a bit of football, because Killian came on for 20 minutes against Kerry in the league, obviously didn't see much ball, like most of the Mayo forwards at that stage of the game, but he'll need football. And I think if Mayo are to first of all win Connacht and go further, they'll need him full song, just going at it. They can't have him at 50-60%.
No, and with a long layoff, we spoke about Colin McShane earlier on. It is very hard after a long layoff to land on your feet and go back to the quality football that he was playing before. I like Galway. I really like the way they play. They're attacking, and what they lack defensively, they put you to the pin of their collar straight away with the forwards. And Mayo have a great defence and not as good forwards, and it's the carbon opposite, for Galway. So yeah. I don't know, Eamon saying 4 or 5 comfortable, I'd be going to Galway win, to be honest.
This is great.
So Galway seem to be motoring a lot better. I know they lost to Roscommon, but that was just an outstanding end to end type of match. But I like the way Galway play, and they'll be coming in as underdogs. So Galway coming in as underdogs, they've nothing to lose,
Yeah, it'll be, I'll be honest, I'm usual story, I'm sitting on the fence, I can't wrap my head around anything at the moment. I'm there looking, Mayo, will their confidence be a bit low after the Kerry game? Maybe they weren't too bothered, we don't know. Galway put in a decent performance against Roscommon and Leafland, but still lost to one of their neighbours. Will that affect them? They conceded an awful lot. My fear for Galway is defensively. And I know we talked Mayo maybe don't have the most potent attack. They're still capable of opening up this Galway defence. And look, I'm sure Pádraig Joyce will have gone back, and the Galway lads, and gone back to the drawing board. I just fear that they're too easy to go through. The goal they conceded against Roscommon, Murta's goal, it was a fantastic finish, but it was just so typical of Galway. There's 4 or 5 players there, and it was a case of you tackle him. And in the end, he stumbled through 4 or 5, and you're going, this happens too often. So I'm a bit wary, to be honest. I think Mayo might edge it, but I think Roscommon are going to win Connacht.
Yeah, so, and quite possibly could. Definitely, yeah.
I think they obviously have the easier run in, because they don't have to play Galway or Mayo to get there. So they'll be in, I expect them to be in a final. I just really like the look of them. I liked them in the league. They went about their business. There was nothing being said about them. And then they got to the league final. They obviously won the last league round of the league against Galway, a weakened Galway team. But just their performance in the league final, they just seem to have a great balance where they can actually change their game up to either running or kicking. And they have scores from all over the field, Eamon. So are you going with Mayo, Connacht, or is it just Mayo to beat Galway?
I'm sticking with Mayo and Connacht, and then to have their heartbroken again in Croke Park. But I get where you're coming from with Roscommon. We've talked so highly of them before, what we've seen in the league final. It was so refreshing, and it was just a lovely brand of football. But I still think the fact they're playing Division 2 is going to stand against them, and I still think that they need a wee bit more at the back. Yeah. They need, and even when the team sets up against them, it's Graham playing this free flowing and banging it in and kick passing and shooting. But when the teams set up, it's going to make life, because Roscommon's, they come across as a team that, you know, don't necessarily think it out. They're just bang, 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 reacting and, you know, kick passing and shooting, if that kind of makes sense there.
Yeah, I'm tipping Roscommon now. I'm tracking backwards a small bit. I think Mayo, it all depends on the injuries. The players they have out, they're just big names. It's going to come down to what kind of shape they're in when they do come back. But like that, even if they were to win a Connacht, they might prove me wrong. They haven't done it in recent years, but I think they're lacking something when we go further afield into the All-Ireland, into Croke Park, when you're playing the Dublins, Tyrones or the Kerrys. I think that's where, even if they win Connacht, they'll be lacking. I still don't think they've managed to give Aidan Shea a proper position where he can be effective consistently for them. And I think that's going to be a stumbling block, and I'm a fan of his. This isn't me slating Aidan. I've actually fierce time for him. I just think he's underutilised. They don't know how to use him. And to be honest, I think it's actually unfair, because I think he ends up taking so much abuse because the management, after all this time, haven't actually found a position to play him, which is shocking, to be honest. They've been around for a long time now, and he's in, he's out, he's over, he's back. Find a position, even if it is a case of, look, your best role for us is going to be the last 10, 15 minutes. Because like that, he's been made the scapegoat more often than not.
Yeah, well, quite possibly. The big problem with him is sometimes when he's inside one-on-one, they don't use him.
Yeah.
You know, and my problem with, Aidan, a class footballer, and over the years been a stalwart for Mayo. I think sometimes when he gets the ball, he attracts such attention. He needs to just lay it off.
Quick.
And sometimes he holds on to it too long. Like the Donaghy going up to Armagh, it would have been an outrageous coup if Mayo had have whipped him over there. And he was so smart. Like, he on his way down, he was shipping the ball off. Whereas Dublin used to just swallow up Aidan, you know, Aidan, and he's so powerful, he'd shove one off, but then there'd be two or three on him, you know. Whereas if he could get it and ship it, them two or three that are coming to him, they have to go and get back to someone, and there'd be far more scores. But that comes to coaching. It's not Aidan has to, he's doing what he's told to do. Coaching needs to tell him, win the ball, ship it off, that's your job, you know. And if he done that, there's not too many will win ball with him one on one.
Yeah, Eamon, you spent your career in the full back line, and you might have come up against him a few times inside there. There wouldn't be too many as big, strong, physical, that you're not going to win too many balls off him. And if he had that, he has actually players around him that do, Killian O'Connor or Dunhood. It is a catch, because when Donaghy started, he wasn't a complete footballer. He was when he finished. He was a bit raw. It was a case of catch it. And you feed the smaller lads around you. And he was brilliant at that. And the rest of it came after. No, look, I know Aidan's at a different stage of his career. He's in the last few years. But I have always felt that this should have been something they should have been looking at years ago, because he's in close to goal. It's very hard to compete physically with him. And if you have players on the understanding and the ball's going quick enough, I know, look, some people, they wouldn't agree, but I've always felt that way about him.
Yeah, I remember he came inside the All-Ireland final in 2012 now, and listen, he's a different player from what he is now, but someone, and Donaghy was a handful at full forward. Donaghy was, and Aidan O'Shea is actually stronger, in my opinion, but Donaghy's smarter in terms of how he uses his body. And with O'Shea, you know, there's certain players where I don't want Donaghy to get the ball, because he lays it off, he's going to create the score. So that's as good as me conceding the score.
Yeah.
With Aidan O'Shea, I would nearly be comfortable. Right, won the ball, don't get into a wrestling match with him, and then I'll look for the turnover. And I think Keane hit the nail on the head there in terms of what do they want Aidan O'Shea to do with the ball, in terms of, you know, is it just barrel through a few men, won the ball? And, you know, this mark is a perfect thing, if they can coach something, if they can create a play for Aidan O'Shea to get a mark, you know, it's something they can run through training. I think it's catered towards Aidan O'Shea, where, you know, you create some kind of basketball play where you make the space, Aidan O'Shea runs into it, he wins, easy mark.
Yeah.
So he does have a role, and it's coming to the, how would you say, the end of the road in terms of, you know, this is, should have been started so long ago, should have found that role, worked in it, become the focal point, and, you know, instead of Aidan O'Shea being blamed for everything that goes wrong in Mayo, you know, their cat died across the road, oh, it's Aidan O'Shea's fault. And it's not fair at all. It's not fair at all on Aidan, because
I agree 100%.
There's an image of O'Shea out there that's just totally inaccurate. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd say you know him better than I did. Any interactions I had with him were from a wrestling perspective. And, you know, it's funny when we chat about O'Shea, great stories when we're playing down Castlebar and me and him were going down the, I think I told us, going down the tunnel at half time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got into a wee scuffle, and whatever way I went to swing, I ended up slipping on the concrete in the on the tunnel. And I was just looking up at him there, and he was just looking down and saying, what's this idiot at? But no, listen, they've got to find a role, and they've got to find a role quick for O'Shea. And it provides a different dimension to Mayo then.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying 100%. And I think if they do that, maybe possibly their summer might be a bit different to the last couple. But we'll move on to Leinster. For the first time in 10 years, we may have a conversation to have about who's going to win Leinster. Instead of in a one horse race, I think we might have two horses. The two of them were relegated from Division 1. Kildare, for long parts of Division 1 campaign, were very good. Unlucky to go down, away farm probably cost them, but look, at least we're having a conversation now. I still think Dublin are going to win it. I still think they'll win it comfortably, but I think Kildare are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, like Dublin, people looking at Dublin and look at it, they're not the power they were. You know, it wasn't going to be sustainable with the players they were losing and that sort of stuff. What's got Dublin in Division 1 was when they went away from Croke Park, their players are perfect for Croke Park, like fast, really agile, you know, like it just suits them down to the ground. But then when they're getting into the Clonus or like Upanoma, you know, they don't have the Connollys, the Mannions, these players who are pulling scores out of nowhere, you know, to kick scores, to win games up on them pitches.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the big thing that made them such a good team. But I still think without them players in Croke Park, they're a serious force, because like they weren't firing on all cylinders in the league, and still what they missed in every game, they probably would have won every game, bar maybe the Kerry game. Do you know, like what they missed against Mayo, like we don't remember Dublin missing. Like their shot percentage was
crazy,
like too high, you know, it's ridiculous. So like now they're starting to miss shots. Like if they can rein that in and start getting back to where they were before, like Dublin are still a force and no one's even talking about them. Now, Kildare are going in the right direction. They're going to have loads of confidence going in and playing against Dublin, and that could be a huge thing for them. But I just find it hard to believe if Dublin can get it right, they should, I agree with you, they should still comfortably win Leinster. And you just never know when you get to an All-Ireland semi-final then.
No, exactly. Look, and I suppose I actually nearly forgot about Loud. Mickey Hart's Loud. They won't be too happy. They'll be thinking, look, maybe not this year, but they'll want to be putting in a bit of a shout this year and hopefully moving on next year and the year after. So, look, they'll be in the conversation. But, Eamon, do you think Kildare, maybe Loud, have a chance of stopping Dublin, or are Dublin just still too strong?
No, I think Dubs are just there, out in front that wee bit. You know, Kildare, again, they're on the right, like many teams, are on the right trajectory, but Dublin are just out in front too far there. Mm. They've done too much throughout the years, and they've the Leinster. You know, we have to remember where Leinster have been at, whether it was just abysmal.
Yeah.
What some of the shows that was put on there by a few Leinster teams. And, you know, that takes time to get to the level to match up with Dublin, because Dublin are falling down and the rest of them are catching up. And, you know, Kildare definitely can put it up to them, but the Dubs, I think you're right, what you're saying, will comfortably win Leinster. And then I don't see them winning in All-Ireland. I just think they're too far off it with the way Kerry and other teams are moving. But, you know, they're still going to come out of Leinster. And then You know, it's about what Kildare do next year, what the likes of Louth, Meath, you know, do next year.
Yeah, and I suppose the next province, you know, Munster. I know Kerry will be underdogs, but I still
Kerry, let's move on.
Yeah, I think the less said about Munster at the moment, maybe the better. But look, we still don't even know where the Kerry Cork's game is going to be played. Bit of a turkey shoot down there, but look, I think the three of us probably all agree that Kerry will be, well, should be winning Munster fairly comfortably this year. Like that, I think Limerick are moving in the right direction, and Clare, in fairness, they don't get any credit, but they've been comfortably Division 2 for the last number of years and they're doing all right. And Cork, look, we won't go there today because I only get cranky talking about Cork. But sometimes. But look, we'll get a couple of predictions. Eamon, I'll go to you first for Ulster. Who's going to win Ulster?
Normally when I say a prediction, it just more or less means they're not going to win. So I'm going to try and say Tyrone to win Ulster, and hopefully they don't win Ulster and Donegal win Ulster. But I think Tyrone are at a level a wee bit above the likes of Monaghan and Donegal there. So I'll stick with Tyrone and the Ulster predictions.
And I'll stick with, you know, Connacht.
Mayo, going to stick with Mayo, and then for them to get further heartbreak in the All-Ireland series.
Leinster.
Dublin.
And will
Dublin win? Handy.
And Munster. Kerry.
Kunday, Kerry.
Yeah. Right, Cian, you're up. Ulster. I'll be careful now, you're going home this evening.
Hopeful for Cavan, but if I was a betting man, I just Monaghan or Derry, so I'm going to throw that.
You're brave, man.
I'm going to throw the hat on Monaghan, possibly. Just, I don't know what it is about them. They just seem to be, they're in the mix in every match they're in. And also Championship, they know how to win it. They've won two or three of them over the last 10 years, you know, and they're hungry again, I think. So I'm going to go with Monaghan.
Connacht?
Galway, yeah. I like the way Galway play, and I don't think they showed enough over the 70 minutes against Roscommon in the league final. That wasn't true reflection of how they played or how they can play. So I'm going to go with them.
And you're going to stick to their colours there for Leinster?
Yeah, Dublin, you can't look past them. Look, at everyone in the country's hopeful Kildare will do it, but I can't see them. Dublin will have to have a really bad day.
Yeah,
and Kildare have to play very, very well. So,
and Munster,
foregone conclusion, pretty much. Kerry streets ahead.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on Ulster. I do like you're kind of. I'm going to go with Tyrone for Ulster. I just think it's an easy one. To be fair, I'm taking a cop out here, but Connacht, I think Roscommon, which is interesting that the three of us going for three different teams. I think Dublin, Leinster, and I think Kerry, Munster. But Eamon, I'll go back to you for the Tailteann Cup. I think the Tailteann Cup could be a fantastic competition. Genuine, I think it could be brilliant.
It could be brilliant.
Yeah.
It could be brilliant. And for me, I'm not necessarily saying they're going to win it, but I think Offaly. I think Offaly are in terms of what they're doing at underage. The buzz that's about the county, I think they can give it a good lash. And you know, it's important that they approach it the right way here. So maybe a team to watch out is Offaly. Yeah. And you know what? I'm actually going to go with them to win it. I'll go with Offaly.
Come on. Cian?
It's hard to call it because you just don't know who's going to make it into a provincial final. You know, like in Connacht, you're going to have your Roscommon or your Galway or Mayo. And it's just like Cavan will be looking to get to an Ulster final. If they don't get to it, they will definitely put the effort in. You're looking at Louth, you know, like there's a lot of teams, like everyone's on a par, like Offaly, they're tremendous team, and then sometimes when they're playing teams that are the so-called better teams, they fall away, like most of the teams in the middle tier of football. So like when you're playing a team that you believe you can beat, it's going to be massive. So like to say who could win it is probably a harder call.
You're worse than me for sitting on the fence.
Well, I'll say Cavan 100%. Definitely think Cavan are good enough to be winning that competition without a doubt. But like Cavan are definitely hopeful of making an Ulster final.
Yeah, I like that. I'm saying both as you. It is hard to know who going to be in it. For me, the main, I'd love to see New York, I'd love to see London getting some wins and going. I'm excited by the progress they can make. And I think if Tipperary are in it, they'd be my pick. Like Cavan, I think they've been playing a grade below themselves. I don't know how, we had this conversation off air, how either team actually ended up getting down to Division 4. I think they're way better than that. And I think if either of them are in this competition, it's another chance of silverware. It's another chance of a day out in Croke Park. And I think it's another chance to get them back up to the level that they want to be at. So that'll be my prediction for it. And we'll go for the All-Ireland, Damon. Which way are you going?
I'm going to put the jinx on you boys with Kerry. I think that if Kerry don't win it this year, it's a serious system failure. I think they've got flaws, all right. And, you know, a lot of teams look at them as beatable. But I think that they'll have learnt an awful lot over the last few years and just finally closed the deal out this year.
Cian?
It's definitely Kerry's to lose at this moment. Like, even last year, it was Kerry's to lose, but they seem to be such a far more smart team this year. Last year against Tyrone, they kept doing the same thing, running into contact, expecting a different result. I thought at half time to be brought in and told, this isn't working, lads. We need to move this ball about. No, continuously doing the same thing. I think this year there's a lot more structure and plan, and if something's not working, they have a plan B. Do you know? So I think they've cut out some of the bad decisions, and I think it'll be very hard to see them bet this year.
I'd agree with both of you. I hate building them up too much all the time, but I do think at this moment in time they are out on their own as the strongest team. I would fear if they're playing Tyrone again in the morning. Genuinely, I hate admitting that. I just think there's something, whatever's in it, something psychological back of the head. We do tend to do the same things over and over and over again against them. I do think we're a bit different this year with Jack being back. Obviously, I would have played with Jack for a long time, and he brought in Paddy Talley, and I think their defensive unit has been impressive, not just from a Kerry point of view because it was poor before, but I just think their whole attitude towards defending has been good this year. So I'm going to stick with Kerry. And before we go on to the Player of the Year, I'll go first. I think Clifford will be Player of the Year. I think Myler from Tyrone, if Tyrone are there and thereabouts, will be in the conversation as well.
Yeah, you're looking at Clifford at the minute, like he's streets ahead of any inside forward at the moment. I was telling you earlier on, Sean O'Shea for me is the best player in the country. I think he offers everything. Like he's obviously not as good an inside player as Clifford, but he can play in there, and he's a danger. He can play at centre forward, pull the strings. He's now at midfield in part of the league, catching kickouts. He is an engine. He can tackle. Do you know, like, if you take all that
tackling
in. Yeah, like he's bulked up. He's a huge lump of man now. Like, so if, like, sometimes the press pushes everything towards the corner forward and who's getting all the scores. So like last year, it wasn't that way when Player of the Year was given. So, like, if it goes pound for pound, I'd like to see Sean O'Shea get it.
If you actually talk to the Kimmare lads about Seanie, and you said, geez, he loves the physical stuff, and they get excited. He really does. Like, he's like, his attitude is incredible. Genuinely, when David and Seanie came into the panel, they're two really solid lads that love football and love improving, but they love the physical stuff. Do you know, they love using the size, and it's a great thing. Do you know, there's no point putting all that effort into the gym if you're not going to use it. But in fairness to Seanie, at times you'd be telling him, you'd be like, it's a fright to be saying, don't work too hard. You'd be afraid that he'd be burning himself out short. He works like a dog, in fairness to him. So no, he'll be in the conversation as well. And Eamon, any tips for Player of the Year?
I think we've got to look at who's going to be in the running for the All-Ireland. So, you know, you obviously have Kerry, and that means Clifford, Sean O'Shea, probably Mayo, and, you know, you're looking at Ryan O'Donoghue, Dermot O'Connor, and probably Tyrone then, and, you know, Darren McCurry and Connor Myler, and out of all them, goes the way we're predicting, it's probably going to be Clifford, because Clifford's been talked about all year. You know, if he continues that vein of form into the championship, there's only going to be one man in the running for player of the championship.
And this might be a bit harsh, but we're going to do it anyway. We're going to put you both in the spot. Who do you think, what team will be the biggest disappointment this year?
Oh.
Throw a little spanner in the works.
You're trying to hang two men here.
This is the question I'll avoid.
Well, a huge disappointment. If Armagh don't beat Donegal, like that's a huge, whoever loses that match is gone. Like, you know, like it's they're under severe pressure then, you know. So it's probably, it's easy in that sense because there's two huge teams playing each other in the first round. So, like, if one of them teams don't bounce back after losing, it could well and truly be one of them because both teams want to win in Ulster. Both teams probably have their eyes set, Donegal more so than Armagh on an All Ireland.
Yeah.
So I'd say, I think Donegal will beat Armagh, so possibly Armagh because they've been moving so well, it potentially could could go pear-shaped if they don't beat Donegal.
Yeah, it's a big one. Eamon?
I'm definitely not saying anything bad about Kings or Manu before Champions.
Setting you up.
No, I'm predicting, I'm not going to name a team out here, play it safe, but I'm predicting there's going to be one or two teams that treat the Tailteann Cup with total disdain. And for me, that would be so disappointing. And it'll show such a sense of entitlement. So, you know, it's hard to know which team actually goes out and does it. The way Down are shaping up, you know, as soon as Down get beaten Ulster Championship, you could see them just scatter to the wind. America, you know, back to the clubs. So it's going to be, you know, there's going to be one team, possibly two, that just say the Tailteann Cup, that's not for me. And that's so disappointing because it's going to be such a great competition. If we market it right and the teams approach it right, then, you know, it has so much potential, but it's important that we get off to a good start with it.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm going to sit in the fence here and I'm going to say I agree with both of your points. But
I should answer that last.
Yeah, I went you first because I knew you'd be honest first. I'd actually agree with you though with the Armagh one. I just think it's a big game and do you know what? The expectation levels, because of the league, I think if they do get beaten by Donegal, which is a big possibility, to be fair, it would be a big disappointment. The other one, I suppose, look, everyone's raving about Kerry and Kerry should win the All. I think if Kerry don't win the All Ireland, they'll be up for that crown as well of biggest disappointment, which is putting more pressure on them. And I think, Eamon, look, you made the best point there. I think any teams that don't treat the Tailteann Cup with respect will be a disappointment because, like, it just shows huge ego. I just think the Tailteann Cup, genuine, it's not a case of trying to blow it up, or I just think it'll be an exciting competition. It's like we all raved about the league because you have very equal teams playing against each other, all competitive games, and I just think it could be very exciting. And like that, the GAA make a right weekend out of the All-Ireland final weekends, Tailteann Cup, the All-Ireland, you know. So I think if any teams go into that competition and not show it the respect that it deserves, it will be a major disappointment as well.
Yeah, like Down could get their whole county set up back on track by 100%. Buying into the Tailteann Cup. Like, they could definitely go out and wipe the floor with 80% of the teams that are in it. But if they don't buy into it, then they're worse off coming into next season. So it's just teams like that who have potential to really go far and push it are the teams that potentially could snub it, you know, and that would be disappointing.
And the thing is, like, whatever level you're at, you have to win that level to go to the next one. That's the way I look at it. If you're not good enough to win, let's say, Division 4, that means you're not good enough to win Division 3. And if you're not good enough to win the Tailteann Cup, you're obviously not good enough to be competing for the All-Ireland.
Exactly, and that's the thing. People talk about tradition, and you know we have tradition of winning Sam Maguire. Why should we drop down to a B competition? Like if that's the mentality, go and you know rely on tradition to play Division 3, Division 4. You know, you've got to earn your right to be playing the top tiers. You've got to earn your right to play into that the top table, and you know you can't say tradition or. You know, we're too good for this. Just go on, show us you're good enough.
100%. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for in today's show. Big thanks to my two guests, Cian, for joining me in studio, and Eamon all the way from Donegal. Join us next week where we'll be talking about all the latest championship action. And if you have any questions, don't forget to get in touch with our social media channels. See you next week.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
The final whistle is all over. Jim Gowan. Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer, but I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Give him a call. It's high, it's over. Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you get at?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.